Nathan Fraser Show, episode number 102. Alex Jones gets kicked off of everything.
Mixing business with politics. This is the Nathan Fraser Show.
What is up, a free market squad and a place to be? It's your boy, Nathan Fraser, High Priest of Propaganda. Thank you for taking a half hour out of your week to hang with me. I'm going to be doing another episode of the Nathan Fraser Show. And it's been a minute. It's been actually like 2 or 3 weeks since I did a live episode of the Nathan Fraser Show. And there's a bit of a reason why. I've been super busy launching podcasts and products for clients, and it's taken up a lot of my time. And it got to the point where I actually had to hire out some help. I've had to hire a contractor to mix down some of my audio. I'm going to be having Brett Vanat, who does the School Sucks podcast. Me and him have worked out an agreement. He's going to be taking on some of my audio mix down capabilities. Now, it took me a while to get to the point where I actually trusted somebody else to take on some of the audio mixing down capabilities for the podcast clients that I have. Brett is the only guy that I actually would trust to do this because, number one, me and Brett have a long history and a long relationship of working together in the past. Number two, Brett does a fantastic job with his own podcast, The School Sucks Project, which is, in my opinion, one of the most finely produced podcasts out there. And so I don't really trust anybody but him with the audio that I'm going to be handing off. And so it took me a while to come to the point where I was able to justify paying what I want to pay him and have somebody who is going to do as good of a job as at mixing down the podcast episodes as I know that Brett can do. So that is something that's going on in the back right now, in the background of my own business. And so it's going to hopefully allow me to free up some of my time to start doing my own podcast again. I've been so busy with other people's podcasts that I've been neglecting my own podcast. Thank you for sticking around. Thank you for sticking with me. I really appreciate it. So that's going to be happening today, though. I'm going to be talking about the big news of the day: Alex Jones getting kicked off of YouTube, getting kicked off of Spotify, getting kicked off of iTunes and Facebook. I'm going to cover that. But first, before I get into that, though, I do want to talk about, so hiring somebody, this is my first time hiring somebody for not full-time work, but hiring somebody as an ongoing contractor for my business. And it got me thinking about the arguments that I hear from people on the left about employees or contractors not getting paid enough and CEOs and business owners getting paid too much and the unfair distribution of the wealth that gets there, that gets talked about so often in the left mainstream media. And I wanted to talk about that before I get into Alex Jones getting kicked off of YouTube. I wanted to talk about that for a little bit and ask the question, who should be deciding what's fair? Who should be able to decide what's fair for the business owner to get versus what's fair for the employees to get or the contractors to get? And kind of talk about what people don't see. People always see the iceberg at the top, what's above the water, but they never really see everything that's below the water, which is usually 80 to 90% of what's actually going on and what should actually be considered. So I wanted to talk about that 80 to 90% of what goes on below the surface that people don't take into consideration when they start talking about how much business owners should get paid versus how much the employees or the contractors should get paid. So first of all, to start up a business, if you're not going the agorist route, if you decide to start up an above the boards business, here's some of the things that you need to take into consideration. Number one, you're going to have to get a bunch of business licenses. You're going to have to register your business. You're going to have to hire lawyers to set up and incorporate your business. You're going to have to file paperwork with your city, your state, and your federal government. You have to get a bunch of licenses. You have to get a bunch of certificates, a bunch of paperwork. You have to pay fees. It's insane the amount of money that goes in and time, the amount of time that just goes into making sure that your paperwork is in order. It's insane. The employee never has to worry about that. That's all up to the business owner to take all of that on. Now, next after that is the amount of years of time that, and I'm just going to speak on my own business. I had to run a t-shirt business, a record label, a graphic designs business, and a software as a service business. Four businesses I had to run into the ground. I had to invest a bunch of my time and money and effort into running four businesses into the ground before I got my fifth business to be profitable, and now subsequently my sixth business to be profitable. It took me four failed business attempts before I was able to finally figure out what it took to make a business successful. Now that I have that successful business, now that I'm at the point where I can actually afford and justify hiring people to come on and help me out and provide employment for people, I had to go through four failed attempts. I had to invest four times over before I find, and that's not just me. That's most business owners fail multiple times before they actually succeed in business. Most business owners have to sink tons of investment, tons of time, tons of money into failing multiple times before they actually hit a success. So that needs to be taken into consideration. It's not just the one business that they were successful at. It was the multiple businesses that they failed at and all the investment that it took learning and wasting money and wasting time in those businesses should also be taken into consideration when you ask how much should the business owner be compensated when they finally are able to actually create a successful, profitable business. Now, on top of that, there's the years I had to take learning my craft. Now, in my podcasting business, I've been podcasting since 2008. So 10 years I've spent developing the art of producing and recording podcasts, the art of interviewing people and making good interviews so that now I can interview people for their podcasts and make good podcast episodes for them. The art of mixing down and audio so it actually sounds good to listen to. The art of marketing, the ability to market podcasts and get podcasts out there into the ears of the listeners. How to write good show notes, how to write good headlines or show titles for the podcast episodes to make sure that people actually pay attention and listen to them. That took 10 years of my life to get to the point where now I can actually offer that as a service that's marketable to other people. You need to take that into consideration. Whatever the business is, whether it's baking cakes, whether it's running a restaurant, whether it's running an ads agency, whether it's running a clothing design agency, whatever the business is, those people running it spent years of their life crafting and learning their craft to get to the point where they were good enough to actually be marketable. Now, not just that, there's the money that I have to spend on actually learning those things. Money that I spent on books to teach me how to actually mix down podcasts. Money that I spent on courses. Money that I spent on books learning how to copyright, learning how to market. Money that I spent on courses learning how to do those same things. Between the library of books that I've spent or that I've bought on those two skills and the library of courses that I've spent on those two skills, easily $20,000, maybe $40,000 of my own money that I've spent acquiring the skills, learning the skills, developing the skills to make it to where I'm actually good enough to where I can charge people money to do the things that I do for them. So there's that. You need to take into account the money and the time that the business owner had to invest to get to the point where they actually have a marketable skill that they can actually sell. Now that the skill is profitable, now that the product or the service that I provide or that other businesses provide are profitable enough to hire somebody, we had to go through all of that before we were even able to justify bringing more people on to help us provide what it is that we provide to the marketplace. Now, in my particular case, in this one, I'm not actually hiring Brett as a full-time employee or even as a part-time employee. I'm actually hiring him on as a contractor, but I'm going to ignore the contractor thing. And I'm going to talk about just business owners that actually hire employees. Now, and if it gets to the point where I actually have to start hiring employees, this is going to change for me as well. And this is going to be something that I have to take into consideration as well. As an employer, You have to pay unemployment insurance. You have to pay workman's comp insurance. You have to pay liability insurance. You also have to pay taxes. For people think that when you get your paycheck, the taxes that you pay are all the taxes that go to the government. No, that's not true. Your employer actually has to match a bunch of the taxes that you pay. So you're only paying 50% of what's actually being paid in taxes. On top of that, employers have to pay the rent. Employers have to pay the electric bills. Employers have to pay the marketing bills. Employers have to pay all of the expenses. Employees don't pay any of that shit. They don't have to worry about any of that shit. Employers, the business owners, put up all the upfront money, and the employees just have to show up, fill out an application, and they expect to get as much as the owner does. They say, well, I'm doing all the work. I'm flipping all the hamburgers. I should get an equal amount in say of what the business does, and I should get an equal amount in the profits that the business brings in because I showed up 2 weeks ago and learned how to flip a burger. What is the business owner doing? And that's just ridiculous. And that's mainly that's the talking points of like anarcho-communists. They always want to talk about taking over the business and seizing the means of production, which just is incredibly hysterical to me, because if these people that have these ideas, the people that said, well, I took the time to fill out the application and I spent 2 weeks learning how to flip the burger, of course I should get a 30% share in the profit of the business. If these people ever actually learned what it takes to actually make a business run, other than the fact that it takes, you know, they're like, oh, I know how to flip burgers. Yeah. But do you know how to run advertisement? Do you know how to interview people to make sure that you're hiring the right people? Do you know how to schedule people? Do you know how to pay the taxes? Do you know how to pay the marketing expenses? Do you know how to do the networking? Do you know how to do all of these other things that it takes to make a business? Do you have leadership skills? Do you know how to motivate people to work when just showing up for a paycheck isn't enough? If the answer to those questions is no, which every single time with anarcho-communists, the answer is absolutely no. If you don't know all of those things and you're put in charge of making the decisions for how a business is going to run, that business is going to fail. That country is going to fail. If you take the privately owned businesses and turn them public and turn them over to the citizens and make a social democracy and let the citizens decide how businesses run, most employees don't even want that responsibility to begin with. And the ones that do, the anarcho-socialists that think their lives would be so much better and that they could run the businesses so much better, those people that have no idea what they're actually talking about, they make businesses fail. They make countries fail when countries are turned over to them. So, no, I'm not a big fan of that idea. And if they think they could do such a better job, all they have to do is start their own business. Why take a business that somebody else spent 10 or 15 years proving and improving and validating and building? Why take something else, something that someone else built? Why not just build your own if it's so easy and you could do such a better job? Anyways, that's just my two cents on that. Let me take another drink of water here. But that's my little rant for the day. Like I said, Brett's going to be taking on some of that workload. So I should get back to making more consistent episodes. I'm glad that I was able to hire him. I'm glad that I'm going to be able to pay him and get some work out of him and get some of the work off of my chest. That's going to be awesome. That's my rant on that. Now, on to the news of the day. Alex Jones getting kicked off of YouTube, Spotify, iTunes, and Facebook, all in like 12 hours. It seems almost like it was kind of planned. Now, first of all, and I'm going to cover this from both sides of the argument, but, so here's one side. These are all private companies and they can host whoever they want to. Facebook has no obligation to provide anybody a platform. YouTube has no obligation to provide anybody a platform. iTunes has no obligation to provide anybody a platform. 100% agree with that. I'm a free market capitalist. I totally get that side of the argument. I'm also going to add to that. I don't really like Alex Jones. I haven't followed Alex Jones in years. When I first discovered him, I thought he was interesting. I liked some of the stuff that he put out. Here's what really turned me off of Alex Jones. There was an incident. I want to say it was like 2010, maybe 2009, somewhere way back in the day, maybe even earlier than that. There was an incident where John Bush, who is a cat out of Texas, was doing an anti-gun control rally, and Alex Jones showed up with his bullhorn to just be completely obnoxious and try and take over the event, was bullhorning, was being a complete ass, treating people completely disrespectfully, yelling at people, calling them names, just being a complete dick. And went on his show the very next day and painted an exact opposite view of what happened. He said, well, I went there and I tried to be friendly and people started attacking me and I tried to be respectful and people were totally disrespectful to me and they were verbally attacking me. And there was video footage of what happened. And it was exactly the contrary of what Alex Jones said happened. He blatantly lied to his audience. And a couple of days later, the video surfaced and it was the exact opposite of what Alex Jones went to his airways and said. Everything that he accused the other side of doing was what he had actually done to the other side. That was really a wake up call for me. When it came to Alex Jones, I was like, oh, wow, Alex Jones is completely full of shit. And from that point on, I started noticing more and more Alex Jones was completely full of shit. And like I said, that was 10 years ago, maybe 8 years ago. It was a while ago. So for the last 8 to 10 years, I haven't really paid attention to Alex Jones. Over the last election, he also kind of completely flipped on a bunch of his stuff. And he's become an apologist for Donald Trump, who I'm also not a big fan of. A lot of the stuff that Alex Jones would call out George Bush on, a lot of the stuff Alex Jones would call out Barack Obama on, he gives a free pass or he makes excuses for when Trump does. So not a big fan of Alex Jones. Now, that being said, I wanted to lay some grounds. I'm all for private companies kicking people off that they don't want to associate with. As a podcast host, I own a podcast hosting company. I don't want to host podcasts for people that I don't align with. I'm very picky about who I take on as customers and clients. I believe I have the right to discriminate, which is funny because the left doesn't believe I should have the right to discriminate, except for in this case, except for when it comes to Alex Jones and Steven Crowder, which I thought it was weird that YouTube deleted Steven Crowder's channels as well. Steven Crowder is not nearly as all of the stereotypical hyperbolic strawman that you can almost apply to Alex Jones, that Alex Jones actually fits a lot of the time. They don't really apply to Steven Crowder, which is, I kind of thought it was weird that YouTube decided to take Steven Crowder's stuff down, citing hate speech. I don't feel like Steven Crowder has ever been guilty of hate speech. And especially nowadays when hate speech, if it's anti-white hate speech, it'll get you a job at the New York Times. If it's anti-mainstream media hate speech, it gets you kicked off of YouTube. Very funny how selective the left is when it comes to the right to discriminate. But I do believe in the right to discriminate. If a gay baker doesn't want to bake a cake for a Christian or vice versa, I'm all for it. You should have the right to discriminate. I'm 100% in agreement with the right for a business owner to discriminate. I'm all for it also with social media, but here's my concern. That being said, I believe in the right to discriminate. I'm not a fan of Alex Jones. That being said, here's my concern. I don't like giant media corporations, giant media companies picking and choosing what ideas are safe for me to hear. And this, again, is something that the left is supposed to agree with me on. We're supposed to agree that it's not a good idea for giant corporations to censor people. It's not a good idea for giant corporations to pick and choose which ideas are safe for mainstream consumption. That's not a good idea. Big corporations can't be trusted with that. And growing up as a as somebody who leaned left, this is something that was always a pretty big value that attracted me to the left. But for some reason, all of a sudden, the left no longer agrees with that value. They no longer agree that it's a bad idea to let giant corporations pick and choose which ideas are safe for us, the consumers, to actually ponder upon. Now, aside from just big corporations, I'm also not a big fan of being protected, whether it's from whether it's by corporations, by the government, by my parents, by my educators. I'm not a big fan of being protected from ideas I disagree with. The reason why I tuned out from mainstream media once I had access to the internet is because I don't like the way mainstream media picks and chooses and tries to protect me from ideas that I disagree with. I don't like living in an echo chamber. If you look at my Facebook, I have tons of friends that are on the left. I have tons of friends that are on the right. I actively and respectfully engage in conversations with both sides because I like listening to ideas that I disagree with. I like putting those ideas against my own ideas to either sharpen my ideas or to disregard my ideas. If my idea is false and your idea is superior, I want to hear your idea, even though it challenges mine, so that I can know that I was wrong. Now, I understand most people don't like that. Most people don't like being challenged. I personally prefer not to be protected from ideas that I disagree with. I personally prefer to be challenged. I personally prefer to have my ideas challenged. And that's why I was so thankful when the internet offered that ability. The internet offered the ability to go out there and listen to all these crazy different ideas out there. Because for the first time in history, at least in my lifetime, giant corporations weren't providing a bottleneck on what kind of information I was allowed to have access to. If I want, here's my thing. If Chicken Little wants to stand on the street corner and scream about how the sky is falling, I don't want Apple, I don't want YouTube, I don't want Facebook placing duct tape over their mouth to protect me from hearing about how the sky's falling. I'm a grown-ass man. I can determine for myself if somebody wants to scream about how the sky's falling, I'm able to look up into the sky and determine for myself whether or not it's true. I don't need to be protected from Alex Jones. I don't need to be protected from Antifa's points of view. I don't need to be protected from Steven Crowder's points of view. I don't need giant corporations protecting me from ideas that I disagree with. And that's my biggest thing about this whole thing is I don't want these platforms that I've grown to love because of the fact that I can get access to so many different ideas. I don't want these platforms now thinking it's their responsibility to protect me from ideas that I disagree with. I came to your platform because I didn't want to be protected. I left mainstream media because I didn't want to be protected. And now you're offering me the same shit that made me leave those platforms, and you're taking away what attracted me to your platform in the first place. And I'm not happy with that. I believe in the marketplace of ideas. I believe that if you social media, Facebook, iTunes, YouTube, these companies for the longest time have proclaimed that they are the marketplace for ideas. Oh, you don't like Fox News and CNN, come to iTunes. We've got a ton of different ideas for you to entertain. Oh, you don't like Rachel Maddow and Tucker Carlson? Come to YouTube. We've got Sticks Hexenhammer. We've got Stefan Molyneux. We've got Tim Pool. We've got all these different people that you can get that you can't get from mainstream media. YouTube, Facebook, iTunes, all of these were built upon the idea, they branded themselves that they are the marketplace for ideas, and now they're going back on that. And I'm not happy with that. What drove me away from mainstream media, what drove me to podcasts, what drove me to social media, what drove me to YouTube is now disappearing. They are becoming what I left. And all of what made me love them seems to be going away, and I'm not happy about it. And I feel like I'm justified in not being happy about that. So what's the solution? I don't know what the solution is. I'm going to be honest with you. Some people say, oh, we need to regulate Facebook and YouTube just like we would regulate the telephone companies. You can't discriminate against somebody and say, well, we don't like your opinions, so you can't have a telephone, or we don't like your opinions, so you can't access the internet. We need to make those same rules apply to Google. We need to make those same rules apply to Facebook. I'm not sure if I agree with that. I'm going to say I don't agree with that. That being said, I don't know what the solution is. Either we'll have to wait and see, or maybe you've got an idea on what the solution is. If you have an idea on what the solution is, I'd love to hear it. Leave it in the comments wherever you're listening to this. If you're listening to it from my website, NathanFraserShow.com, leave it on the comments on the show page. If you're listening to it on Facebook, or if you're viewing it on YouTube, leave your comments down below. Let me know. What do you think the solution to this is? It's getting scary. It's to the point where I feel like free. And then here's the other thing. Before I make my final call to action, here's the other thing. Even outside of social media, even outside of YouTube, even outside of Facebook, it seems like we're creeping into societally, into the zeitgeist that we need to be protected from ideas we disagree with. It seems like overall as a society, we don't want to hear opposing ideas. When I was a kid, there was the saying, I may disagree with what you have to say, but I'll defend to the death your right to say it. And that doesn't seem to be a very popular opinion anymore. We see people being deplatformed. We see people getting their books. They write a book and people attack the book publisher and make them unpublish the book. We see people getting their TV shows taken down for things that they tweeted. We see people, all of these different things. We see people saying, if I don't agree with what you say, I don't want you to be able to say it. I want your Twitter to be taken down. I want your TV show to be revoked. I want your book deal to be revoked. I want your speaking tour to be revoked. And that's scary as shit to me because, again, I want to live in a society where we're able to test ideas against each other, where the truth can be tested. And if it comes up false, we can move on to what the actual truth is. I don't want to live in a society where we're not allowed to hear opposing points of view, or in a society of people who would prefer not to hear opposing points of view. I don't feel comfortable living in that kind of a society. Maybe it's just me, but I think intellectually, for our own development, it's better to live in a society where we're able to test our ideas against other people's ideas. And I'm a firm believer that sunlight is the best disinfectant. If you've got garbage ideas, I want to know about them. If you're a racist, I want to know about it so that I know not to do business with you. If you're a crazy Antifa person, I want to know about it because then I know not to do business with you, not to associate with you. I'll still discuss. If you want to come to me and say, hey, let's have a rational discussion, let me tell you about why I feel this way, I'm all for it. But if I still disagree after that conversation, I want to know that you feel that way so that I can say, okay, well, that's great that you feel that way, but I'm not going to do business with you. Overall, as a society, I think that we advance. I think that we mature. I think that we develop better when anybody is allowed to say their ideas and we're allowed to test them in an open marketplace of ideas. And I would prefer that Facebook and YouTube and iTunes and Spotify also embrace that understanding, but it seems like they don't. And again, I don't know what the solution is. What do you think the solution is? Leave your comments down below. Let me know what you think the best solution for this is. Also, if you enjoyed this episode, make sure that you don't miss another episode by subscribing either on iTunes or to my YouTube channel or to my Facebook channel, as long as I don't get kicked off of iTunes, YouTube, or Facebook, which might happen. We'll see. Until that happens, though, make sure you're subscribed. You can check out more over at NathanFraserShow.com. I'm Nathan Fraser, High Priest of Propaganda. I want to remind you, have faith in each other, not in authority. Be your own boss. Hashtag BYO boss. I am out of here. Deuces.